So the big news, of course, came down earlier this week when we found out from none other than Joe Manchin that he was a no vote. A no vote on Build Back Better. And now we welcome on and say good morning to Kansas U.S. Senator Roger Marshall. He's on KCMO. Senator, I know, you know, you've told us for several months now that you do have a rapport, a relationship with Joe Manchin. How surprised, if at all, were you by his decision here this week to say, I'm a no on Build Back Better?
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas, Pete, to you and your listeners. You know, ding dong, the bill's dead. The wicked pill is dead. I'm not surprised at all. I talked to Joe Manchin Friday late. We were there till about 3 in the morning on Saturday, and Joe was talking to a handful of us, and the Democrat Party just beat him up, just beat the snot out of him. He's sick of it. He's tired of it. And I'm not surprised. He showed real courage. I think that people just underestimate how hard it is to stand up to your own peers and say, this is wrong. But fortunately, Joe Manchin listened to the people of West Virginia who don't want more inflation, who don't want the IRS in their business, who don't want big government socialism. It took real courage. But I think the real story here is how the White House continues to beat him up. And they're just saying horrible things about him, attacking him personally. Joe Manchin has always been a man of his word, a man of integrity. We may not always agree on policy, but we almost always agree on the same goals. Just sometimes disagree on how to get there. The White House is pushing him out of the Democrat Party if they don't look out.
Yeah, it certainly seems like that could very well happen. I mean, you know the guy a little bit. You've talked about, I think, working out with him and whatnot. So you're familiar with his line of thinking in some ways. How much is he being pushed away from the Democratic Party because of exactly what you just talked about, their reaction to his decision this week?
Yeah, I think it's very intense, and it's not stopping. You've heard all the sniping going on from people in his own party. It just continues. And Joe has always been very consistent. He said, look, West Virginia is, by the way, a very Republican state now. And he ran as a moderate. He's always been a moderate. The people of West Virginia did not elect a radical leftist. That's not who Joe Manchin is. He's been very consistent. But this left wing of the party is the tail wagging the dog. And by the way, that tail's on fire now. And Joe Biden's pouring more gasoline on it. Inflation, just out of sight. And that's the number one concern back home is inflation and mandates.
Being joined by Roger Marshall on KCMO Talk Radio. So when you look at where things go from here, Senator, and what this may look like going forward, there's been calls on the other side of the aisle to still put this to a vote. You tell me if this is crazy. I believe that deep down there are other Democratic senators who are thrilled that Joe Manchin is taking all the heat right now and taking all the arrows. Because if you did an anonymous vote on Build Back Better, I believe there might be a couple of other Democrats who would vote this thing down. What do you think about that?
Right, Pete. And the politics of this is, if you're from a purple state and you're a Democrat, you do not want to vote on this for the reasons you just described. Look, the primaries are going to start in those states here in just a couple months. So you don't want this on your voting record. You think Sharice Davids? Well, I guess she's already voted on it. She's already voted for inflation.
She's a yes.
She's already
yes.
voted for big government socialism. Yeah. But on the Senate side, some of those purple senators don't want to have to vote on this. It'll be a blemish on their record. So think, you know, if Chuck Schumer has any hope of keeping the majority, he won't let this go to a vote. I expect them to pivot then to the federal takeover of the election process and telling Kansas that we cannot use voter ID, that we have to do ballot harvesting, that we have to send out unsolicited ballots. That's what I expect them to pivot to.
That thing is dead on arrival, though, right? That's just going to be a talking point for 2022.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
I think it is dead on arrival. Once again, I think it would take getting rid of the filibuster to accomplish that. And again, our superstars over there are Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, who said they want to keep the filibuster. And by the way, we have over 30 Democrat senators on record from 2 years ago saying that they do not want to get rid of the filibuster ever. So yeah. It's interesting, the hypocrisy coming out of the left right now.
It very much is. Roger Marshall is our guest here on KCMO Talk Radio. Senator, I know as well, you're part of a bipartisan group of doctors in Congress who have launched a PSA encouraging booster participation. What can you tell us about that? What's the ultimate goal there?
Yeah, well, obviously more mixed messaging coming out of the White House, but we know that boosters work. There's lots of things we're not sure about, but we know that boosters work. And if you're a senior citizen, if you have underlying health care conditions, if you're overweight, please talk to your doctor about getting the booster. This Omicron virus is going to rip through Kansas here over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Think about this virus just for a second. If there was 50 people in your community, it's going to double every 2 to 4 days. You'll have 1,000 people in your community with it here in 10 days. So you're going to be exposed to the virus. We know that the boosters help protect you, so that's a good thing. What we did is last week, we got some Democrat doctors and Republican doctors together. I wrote a script, and we're releasing that public service announcement. This is not a political issue. It should not be. Please, if you're a senior citizen, if you have underlying health care conditions, please consider getting the booster. And you know I'm against mandates, but we know that these boosters work for senior citizens and people with underlying health conditions.
How far removed from the first shots should one be? Or does that not matter?
Yeah. Okay, so it's your last shot. So after, within 6 months of your last shot, your antibodies start falling. And for some people, especially seniors, they start falling after 4 months. So I think that's why we have a doctor, right? If you're in that 4 to 6 month window, and my 83-year-old parents, I've been working since June to get them their booster shot because they were at their 4 months, and that's what the data clearly showed it way back in June that the boosters would help senior citizens. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed the CDC's not moved quicker. So at least 4 months, and I think the FDA is probably saying 6 months to cover themselves.
How about there's been some questions on how young is too young, where the booster may be beneficial or not beneficial. I mean, first it was really not necessary if you're under 50. What are your thoughts on that, if any at all, right now?
Yeah, Pete, I really encourage people to talk to their doctor, their pediatrician. I think it's a very unique situation. I know that for 19-year-olds, the risk of getting pericarditis from this shot is greater than the risk of being hospitalized. More people are going to die from drug overdose. Young adults are going to die from drug overdose than from this virus. So I really think it's a person by person for that younger, low risk group. And I just hate to get between a patient and their doctor.
Yeah, no, understandable. I don't know, by the way, if you saw, Senator, what President Trump said recently. He was on this tour with Bill O'Reilly, and he was talking about the vaccine itself. And he said we should be taking credit for it. He said, you're playing into the hands of the Democrats by, using this as a political issue. Now, of course, he said, of course, no one should be forced into taking it. Right. But there was also this very interesting exchange here that I'll play in case you didn't hear it.
Both the president and I are vaxxed. And did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it, too. Okay, so...
No. That's all. There's a very tiny group over there.
So that was an interesting moment there, Senator. I thought that was a good moment.
Yeah, it is. I think that I do hope people realize that President Trump got the booster. And if it wasn't for President Trump, we'd still probably be trying to work on a vaccine as well. So we're very grateful for the vaccines we've had. They have saved maybe millions of lives for all we know. We know that they work. But I think you have to also take into account potential side effects. The side effects from the vaccines tend to be with younger people under the age of 30. And for most younger people, the virus is like a cold. Mm-hmm. That's all it is to them. And then we haven't even touched natural immunity. That's why you have to go to a doctor to get through all this in a 5-minute radio show is pretty tough. So it's great to see President Trump out there showing leadership by getting the booster and then sharing it, kind of swallowing some pride, but yet thumping his chest at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree on that. Senator Roger Marshall, Senator, thank you so much for being here. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And we'll talk to you in 2022.
Yeah, Pete, Merry Christmas to you and your family and all your listeners as well. And, boy, aren't those Chiefs playing great. Well, we'll be cheering them on through this holiday season.
I was going to say, you feel good about that number one seed at this point?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think we got a really good number one seed. The defense, I called them out a month ago on your show, and they came through as well. So hats off to them, and hope that they use some common sense getting through this virus situation as well. What a tough time in the NFL.
Well,
I can't wait for the playoffs.
You know those guys, Chris Jones. This is he's locked into this show every morning on the way to the office. I know that much, Senator. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
He's playing great. He's playing great. Thanks, Pete.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.